our Lord, so filled with zeal to tell people about the Father, to get them ready for the inbreaking of the kingdom, that he's working day and night, not even eating. That's zeal. That is zeal. And so much so, so out of the ordinary, that they say he's crazy. We're going to look at the psalm again. The psalm follows the account of the defeat of the army. Again, do you notice how, as the old fathers of the church used to tell us, these great patriarchs are models for us. Can you imagine in this political debate we're having today, you know, every day, somebody else spending millions of dollars to defame another one, you know? They're in competition for the kingdom, right? And one of them gets killed in a car, in a plane crash or something. Everybody weeping, mourning? No, one out of the way. Here, though David knows he's supposed to inherit the kingdom, he weeps over Saul and Jonathan. You see, that's piety, as we call it, you know. It's respect for those from whom you come. Love for the place you come from, your country, your family. And here's David weeping over the man who tried to kill him because he's the king of Israel. This is a terrible disgrace. So they pick the psalm, you know, which is a national lament. This Psalm 80 is a national lament. The translation, I brought another one because this one's, well, it's good enough, I guess. Shepherd of Israel, give ear. You who lead Joseph like a flock. He's calling out to God now, see. Why Joseph? Joseph is sort of the northern tribes, and they fell about 200 and something years before the, or a little under 200 years, before the south. And so, you see, yeah, I'm going to take this other translation. I want the text. The notion is, one of the themes is here is, Lord, rouse up your might. Lord, come to our help. Now, why do we keep this song? Why do we pray this song? Because of the mess the church is in. I mean, we're... Can you imagine that the European Union has a prologue and never mentions Christianity? The gospel was the greatest, the only really forming factor in Europe. And it's not even mentioned. And when John Paul II pointed that out, he put in, well, conscious of the great religious and cultural heritage of the past, they would never say Christian. This is France, the eldest daughter of the church, Germany, you know. Now in Germany, I think it's about 30% practice, or even baptized. And so we look like fools. Graciously, God has provided us with some real leaders. And our popes, for instance. You are enthroned upon the cherubim, maybe alluding to the Ark of the Covenant, you see. Appear, they translate this, all right. Rouse your might and come to our help. Restore us, Lord. Now, Elohim Hashivenu, bring us back. as I've pointed out before, the concept in Hebrew of conversion is conversion, turn around. It's to return, shuv. And so this text says here, you see, bring us back, you know. Make us return. We can't do it. I mean, look at the church in this country, founded by all the poor who came from Italy and Poland and Germany and Ireland and who knows where. All the poor. Where are we now? Fat cats. How many practice contraception? How many don't go to church? How many are in favor of abortion? What's happened to us? You see? And that's what this psalm is all about, you see. Rouse your might and come to our help. Restore us, O Lord. And that's that translation. Hashivenu, bring us back. And let your face shine on us. And we shall be saved. Is this got a better translation? Yeah, it's better. Okay. Lord God of hosts, how long will you frown on your people's plea? You have fed them with tears for their bread, abundance of tears for their drink. They don't say, the problem is the stock market. They say the problem is our sin. I don't know if you've been reading those locutions from Our Lady. And I was just reading a bunch this morning about our preoccupation with the finances. You see? Put your finger on the root of the problem. You see? The economic system is not going well. That's not the root of the problem. That's the manifestation of the problem. You know, it's not just piety. It's just common sense. How long will you frown on your people's plea? You have fed them with tears for their bread, an abundance of tears for their drink. You've made us the taunt of our neighbors. Not yet, but it could happen. This whole economic system could collapse tomorrow. And who wouldn't come to pick up the spoils? The Chinese, the Russians, everybody. Why? This was a country founded by Christians. Then opening its doors to everybody. And now look. You see, this is why we're told to pray and fast. Monday is a day of prayer and fasting for abortion, which in every locution from heaven is said to be the crime. And we're so dense to it. You see? Okay. God of hosts, and we have this same refrain again in verse 8. I have to do this because I'm a little disappointed in this translation. See, bring us back. That's the same thing. Make us return. Huh? We can't return. We don't even know which way to return. Bring us back, you see? Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. I must say, I guess you see it too, how the face of God is shining. Oh, you walk into some situations and you see light rising like a luminous cloud, just rising. I walk around with the collar. Everybody wants to talk to me. Are you a priest? You know, yeah. Well, my father was a Catholic, and they're looking for something. This is the Holy Spirit. This is Mary, the Mother of God, interceding for us and causing, you see? And so we'll take a little more. Then we'll see. Then it reflects. You brought a vine out of Egypt. To plant it, you drove out the nations. This image of the vine which you find throughout the Old Testament as an image for Israel. And what does Jesus say about himself? I am the true vine. Not the other vine was false. The conflict between true, when it's used true in this context, is true as opposed to imperfect. We have that thing in Isaiah 5, you know, let me tell you the story of my beloved. My beloved had a vineyard, he dug around, built a wall, and now it's, you know, all the boars of the forest are eating at it. Then why have you broken down its walls? It is plucked by all who pass by, ravaged by the boar of the forest, devoured by the beasts of the field. If you look at this cloud of light rising, you see hope. But if you look at the large scale, and this is sin. This is sin. Now, here we are, having Mass, hearing the Word of God. We must intercede. You know? We must intercede. We must spend time every day praying. Our Lady says the way to do this is the Rosary. She has said it at every apparition. And I've forgotten how many there are now, but there's something like 80 or 90, you know? Every time, the Rosary, intercede. For this poor world, which has gone nuts, and the church along with it. I mean, the disgrace. We've got a bishop in jail for drunken hit and run driving. You know, this disgrace. God of hosts, turn again, we implore. Look down from heaven and see. Visit this vine and protect it. The vine your right hand has planted. Men have burnt it with fire and destroyed it. May they perish at the frown of your face. And then may your hand be on the man you have chosen. They're praying for their king. And then finally, the last line again. God of hosts, make us return. Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. That's a lament. Why is it still in the Psalter? That was for the Jews. You know, we're faithful. We all know why it's there. And yet, it's there. Who wrote it? The Holy Spirit. To give us a prayer to say that will move God to have mercy. That's what it's there for. And so, you know, they have it today at this defeat of, you know, Saul and Jonathan. The whole Israeli army scattered in disgrace. Why? Because you're not there to help us, God, and you're not there to help us because we have sinned against you.